The second scripture reading this morning is also from the Old Testament, from Psalm 116. Psalm 116. I love the Lord, because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell get hold upon me. I felt trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now, in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the midst of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. So far the readings.
Congregation, the text for this short sermon is from the Acts of the Apostles. The second chapter, verse 41. So let's go back to the day of Pentecost, Acts of the Apostles, second chapter, verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So far. The Lord at work by opening hearts and adding to the congregation. The theme for this morning, the Lord at work by opening the hearts and adding to the congregation. So you've heard 2 points, right? The Lord at work, in the first place, by opening hearts, and secondly, by adding to the congregation. So, congregation, let us go back this morning to the day of Pentecost. Remember that the city of Jerusalem was very busy, filled to the brim. All the inns and the hotels are filled, all the rooms occupied. Very busy on the street as well. And especially children around the court of the temple. So many people for that special Thanksgiving week. That was Pentecost, the Thanksgiving week. So very busy, especially around the temple. And I see later on the day Pentecost, the Apostle Peter preaching. Can you believe it? You're so afraid. You're so afraid that he said, I do not know him, I do not know the man. He denied the Lord Jesus, so afraid for the consequences. He's not afraid anymore. So bold, so free, so courageous, so with the help of the Lord, preaching the word of God, and not just softly, but honestly, and in a way, cutting to the bone. looking all those pieces in the, all those faces, straight in the face, all those people straight in the face, and saying, that Jesus, whom you have crucified, that Messiah, the Lord has sent to you, God has raised him and made him Lord and made him Christ. Not afraid of the people at all. And you remember, right? This is a well-known Bible story. You remember that many were pricked in the heart, felt kind of as if the Lord's finger was pointed to them, and they felt in the very hearts what they have done, and they realized their sins and that they had not acknowledged the Messiah. They felt kind of a pain inside. They felt convicted. They felt panic. What shall we do? Remember? What shall we do? They felt lost. They felt guilty. There was desperation. They were at a loss. They didn't know what to do anymore, what to think. They were unconverted and sinned against the holy and good-doing God. Now, how did the Apostle Peter reply to that, respond to that, to all those, let me say, crying people? All those people slain and convicted and feeling sorry for their sin. What did he say? He said, the Lord has begun a good work in you. No, he did not say that. Well, did he say, well, pray for more? No, he didn't say that. Well, what did he say? He said, repent ye. Repent ye. That's what he said. Let me explain that to you. Someone is traveling in a road and comes to the conclusion that it's the wrong way. He stops. Looks around. And realizes it was wrong. But you know, that person now also needs to return. It's not enough to realize that you were wrong. And to stop, you need to go back. And that's what the Apostle Peter said. Now you realize that you're wrong, but now you need to go back. Turn ye, repent ye, repent ye. Oh, it's one thing to feel sorry for the wrong way you have taken, the false religion you have adhered to. But now you have to turn from sin and to turn from evil and to go back to God and His work and His service. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to the forgiveness of your sins, he said. So he said, repent ye. And now you also, that's kind of what he implies, you have to now believe in that Lord Jesus Christ. Then you will receive the forgiveness of your sins. So the people pricked in their hearts, he said, wait, repent ye. You would say, but they are repenting. They feel sorry. Now what he means is, don't only feel sorry, now the choice of the heart needs to be in the heart. The choice needs to be in the heart. You need to go back, to repent, and save yourself from this untoward generation. You have to disconnect from the false religion, the Jewish religion, and to go back to God. Because they have such a crooked way of thinking. And in that same context, he says, because the promise is unto you and to your children and all that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. So they are feeling sorry, that repent ye and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the promise is unto you. The gospel is preached to you. The gospel is preached to you. Do you see this? In the Acts of the Apostles. Verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you Oh, that's what he hopes. Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission, the blotting out of your sins, to have it all erased, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and to your children and all that are far off. And with many other words did he testify. He just kept going. Many other words. And exhort them, saying, save yourself from this untoward, corrupt generation. So also this morning, if you feel kind of broken, guilty, sinful, my message is, no, not my message, oh, repent ye, turn ye, like Ruth the Moabitess, going along with her mother-in-law Naomi, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You need to, yes, you need to take refuge. Have you? Did you ever flee to the Lord Jesus Christ? Believing in him, seeking your salvation in nowhere else but in him? And do you know of that choice? You know what I read? I read, then they that gladly received his word are baptized. There were people, and they gladly received that word of God. They were standing there, pricked in their hearts, repenting. And they heard that the promises was unto them and to their children. They couldn't believe it. They couldn't believe their ears. For them, they had slain the Lord Jesus Christ, crucified him. And now the promise unto you and to your children, to such a people, Then they did gladly receive his word. Beautiful expression, right? Gladly received it. So happy to hear that. So fitting in this situation. Exactly what they were in need of. So suitable, so precious. They gladly received that word. That repent ye, that be baptized, that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that turn ye from this untold generation. They gladly received it. So they did not just receive it. You know, casually, like you present something to someone. Okay, thank you. What is it? No. Gladly received it. They said, this is what we need to hear. This is what we have been longing for. This is exactly the word of the living God. We don't feel deceived. We feel this is genuine. Gladly received it. Because they were not glad before, right? Pricked in their hearts. No gladness whatsoever. They were missing everything. Felt sorry for their sins. They're broken. And then that changed from pricked in their hearts to gladness. Do you know what it is? Do you know those times in church? That you came to church and you're sitting like there somewhere here in one of those chairs and not happy at all. And then the word of God was applied and you gladly received it. It was as if it was a dry month. And there was no rain and the ground was cracking and nothing growing and a desert. And then a rain came down from heaven. And you just welcomed it with both arms and you received it. Gladly received it. Let me quote a few texts from the Bible with the same received, the same gladly received. Think of the time that the Lord Jesus was in the land of the Gergesenes and came back to Galilee. And it came to pass that when Jesus returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. That's very similar. They had been all waiting for him, maybe not all in a saving way, but the same word is used. They were all waiting for him, and he came back to Galilee. They gladly received him. He is back. Have you heard it? We can listen to him again. We can see him again. He is the Savior. Well, think of the time of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 15. When Paul and Barnabas came to Jerusalem. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received at the church. And of the apostles and elders, and they declared all the things that God had done with them. So that they were received, were acknowledged as representatives of the congregation of Antioch. You know that glad receive means hospitality. Means the doors are open. Means you have visitors coming and you say, you're so welcome in my house. They gladly receive them. The doors open. That's meant here. And that happened to 3,000 people. Not 3,000 pricked in their hearts. Maybe more. Maybe way more than 3,000 pricked in their hearts. I don't know. It doesn't say 3,000 pricked in the heart. But it says 3,000 gladly received him. Gladly received that message. And the Lord added to the people 3,000 they that gladly received him. Because sometimes people feel pricked in the heart. And after a month or so it just... They get over it. And they continue back. They continue with their normal life again. And it's not so urgent again. It goes up and down. Some of them feel pricked in the heart and sometimes not. But it never comes any further. There's no repentance. No turning back. No glad receiving of the gospel in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. It stops. They get stuck in some common convictions. So how do we now know if someone is really pricked in the heart by the Holy Spirit? How do we know that it is a saving work? How do we know? Well, if people gladly receive that gospel, then it's clear this was the saving work of the Spirit. It did not stop. It did not just go over. No, it was saving. The promises unto you, the invitation came to them, and they took refuge unto the Lord Jesus Christ. So, how is it now with you? Have you, in the past, glad to receive the word of God, the gospel, of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know of that dry and thirsty land where no water is? And then it started to rain. You know what it means? They were baptized. They did not even wait with baptism. They gladly received the word of God and were baptized. Oh, they welcomed the light as it was so dark in their hearts. And the Lord added, our second thought, the Lord added to the congregation. See that? That's the second part of our text. Then they that glad received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Added to God's people. So there were already some of God's people before, but the Lord was adding to them. There were already 120 in that upper room. The Lord said, 3,000 or so more. I'm adding to them. Or you can even think about Adam and Eve and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all God's people in the past who were drawn out of God's, in God's love to the light. And the Lord said, I add in one day 3,000 more. Precious word. And the Lord added. They did not add themselves. It's not so that other people added people to the Lord's people. It's not so that pastors and elders and deacons and parents and beloved ones and grandfathers and grandmothers can do it and can force it. Although we must encourage and make people jealous, it's the Lord doing the work. And if the Lord would not do it, it wouldn't happen. Because I have no power myself to draw myself. The question for young people. What color do you like the best? What color don't you like? Let me ask that. So you don't like green? How much do I need to pay you, dear, that you like green tomorrow? You don't like green, but how much can I pay? I will give you $1,000. Can you then please like green? You say, well, I can pretend, but I'm sorry, I just don't like green. Can you not change that? How do you change your preference for a certain color? You can't. You can't even change that. You can't even change preference for a color. Can you please hate someone or love someone on command? Can you? I cannot. If someone would say, Minister, get mad now. You can't force that on me. I can't even decide myself. And so I cannot decide to repent, and I cannot decide to love, and I cannot decide to believe. Because I have no control over my feelings, of my deepest hearts. So it is the Lord's work. And then the Lord comes, congregation, then you begin to prefer things over other things you hated before. And all of a sudden, your heart changes. You begin to love and to like and to hate in a different way. What you did not like before, you like it. What you hated before. Things are changing. Dramatically changing. It's the Lord's work. Do you know that? You didn't like reading the Bible. You did it. In obedience. You didn't really love it. And then the Lord gave that need. That feeling lost. And that seeking heart. And you were a different person. That's the Lord's work, and so the Lord added unto that people about 3,000 as His work, to His honor, to His glory. Nobody can boast, nobody can say, well, I believe, I did it, I repented, it's not something we can do, we have no power over it. So this morning we hope to celebrate the Lord's death. Till He comes at the Lord's supper table. All honor and all glory to God. There's nothing for you. Nothing for me. Don't feel good about yourself. If you feel good about yourself sitting at this table, you're so wrong. If you say no, but I made that decision, you know. Because I took that first step, you know. If you think that way, you don't belong at the table. It's the Lord adding to His people. All honor, all glory, only and only to Him. So sitting at a table unworthy of the least of God's blessing, and the Lord saying, but I want you at this table, because I want to fill you that empty vessel with my grace. That's how the Lord works. He added 3,000 souls. Ever thought about the word soul? You have a soul. You are a soul. You are an individual. Who are you? What's your name? You always will be you to a never-ending eternity. You're not going to change into another individual. I hope you may have a change of heart, but you still will be you. Think about it. Long eternity, you. And so the Lord added about 3,000 souls, precious souls for eternity. And what's not mentioned here, but what's so precious, is that the Lord added because he had chosen them from eternity and he had paid the price for them. The Lord Jesus had. When the Lord Jesus came to earth, he had in mind to save his people from their sins. And he would. And he paid the price and he said on the cross, it's finished. And he paid the entire ransom to effectually save all them the Father had given him. To effectively save them all. That not one hoof will stay behind. To add them all. Because he paid the price and he could demand from his Father, I will that they will be with me. Pay the price. He died for them. He died not only sufficiently for the whole world, but effectively for the elect. To save them, to give them faith, to give them repentance, to give them everything they are in need of, to give them the application of the Spirit, to give them everything they were in need of, to give them it. He paid the price for that. To also pay for their unbelief, to pay for their unfaithfulness, to pay for their worldliness, to pay for who they are. So then, on that day of Pentecost, they that glad received his word. If you have gladly received the word of God for a hungry soul, then there is room at this table. If you've also answered right. Because the Lord is adding to his people. And they, at that same day, not a week later, not a month later, not years later, the same day they were baptized. So there's enough water in Jerusalem. You are baptized. So if it is true, you don't have to wait a year or two. If it's true, you may come now. Don't wait. And they that gladly received this word, that promise of the living God for lost sinners, were baptized. May it please the Lord to bring at this table his people. Amen.